We live, fellas. Everybody wave at the counter.
You so, mean I'm about to get canceled?
Just wave at the, just wave at the camera.
And we got to play it off. We got to play it off.
Listen to me. Wave at the camera. Back away slow. Yeah.
Wait, wait, wait. Get your damn act together.
Little Jerry. Hey, he going to put us in that docu-series. Come on, Jerry.
Hey, you better listen to me. For $50 million, hey, Jerry, all I need to know is give me a shout-out for running the damn ball. Listen to me. For $50 million times 10, you geeking $5 million an episode, 10 episodes, I think my run the damn ball, I think I'm at least worth. Give me $1,500, Jerry, and I go right now.
$1,500.
Me being on the low end, just give me something, you know? just get me involved.
What I learned about hustling with trapping while Jerry is you need – see, most folks, you need to start high and go low. No. With Jerry, start low and go up. Jerry, give me $50. Give me $50, Jerry. I know you got it. You're a billionaire, Jerry. Okay, you gonna give me 50? Then give me the 60, Jerry. Come on, give me the 60, Jerry. One thing I love about Jerry is he's consistent. He's like Southwest. He gonna screw everybody off. You know what I'm saying? The janitor in Dallas Cowboys Stadium wondering, man, when I'm gonna get a raise, man.
You ain't gonna win when it's negotiating with him. You can hang that up.
Let me find out the cleaning staff went in for their yearly and Jerry was sitting there with his legs crossed like, you know what? The stadium can always be a little bit more cleaner.
Just a little bit. You know?
Not to be trite.
Hey, HTM, I'm going to tell you about this cleaner I had in El Paso. He was a cleaning some, which I'm just saying, not to be trite. Now, that guy up there in Philly, he's a cleaning. He's cleaning like it ain't cleaning before. You know what I'm saying? I think this conversation just went left. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. We're going to start this conversation off, but listen to me. After today is going to be the win all, the all all. This is the last Jalen Smith freaking Dak Prescott, not Jalen Smith, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott conversation we having. We're going to have this conversation. We're going to set the record straight, and then y'all just going to have to decide to believe it or not, man, because this is what I've learned in life, man. You can lead that horse to water, man. The horse be, I'm thirsty in the mud. Get his mouth over there, look at the water, and be like, they ain't got no straw. No, they ain't got no damn straw. You know what I mean? So listen to me. We about to present y'all the facts of what's really going on between Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts. And then you know what, man? I'm going to let you decide. I'm going to let y'all pick if y'all feel it'll be better or not. Because after the day, it's over with. And then the last thing we're going to do before we get up out here is we're going to tell y'all about this convention. It's not even really like a convention. It's really like a collaboration of 200 athletes all around the world. 200 athletes all over the world, right? Going to be coming to Dallas, y'all. Coming to Dallas this week. Called SportsCon. Everybody right now that you see in this panel is going to be in the building, man. You want to be Law Nation in the beard? You want to rub your hands through the beard? I don't know if you're going to be able to
run. Wait, man.
He said, hold up. Now, he did not sign off for that.
You said you got too much dip on your chip, West Coast. Hold your horses, man. Relax.
You went too far, man.
Hey, listen, you know how athletes, you know, they be wiping their face and they'll throw their rag and they'll be like, oh, my God, I got Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott wiped his face with.
I got a musty rag.
Hey, listen. Hey, Law gonna pick his beard out and sit it down. Somebody go grab it. But put it on eBay, see what you can get for it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen. Yeah. So if you want to swipe some from Law Nation, he gonna be in the building. Come get him. I'll make sure he don't put his pick down so you can grab it. Listen to me. If you want to come see HTM, if you want to come see him, listen, all I'm going to say is this. Don't call him Dread. Don't say, hey, man, you ACM with Dread, because he's going to get on your ass. Now, they call it locks. When you see HTM this weekend, you better not call him Dreads, because he don't dread nothing about it. He called them locks. You know what I'm saying? Next thing, when you see Landlord this week, all I'm going to say is he don't accept Cash App. He don't accept money orders. He don't accept any type of electrical payment. He's had bad situations in the past. If your rent's due, don't be smiling all up in this dude's face, knowing your rent is due. Don't do that. If you know your rent, listen to me. If you know your rent is due, at least make arrangements. then dap him up. Hey, man, I'm a guy.
You know, I know IOUs are very typical, but we don't accept that form of currency. You know what I'm saying? We do not.
And remember, landlord can eyeball work. He is not you, jerk.
Straight like this. You're not getting over on me, sir. Hey, you're not getting over on me.
You going to hit him with this right here? So what you got for me, man? I got honey.
He going to flip it back over. He going to flip the knot over.
No doubt.
He going to hit the smoky. The big
playing with my money, smoky.
Playing with my money is like playing with my emotions.
With my emotions. Listen, I mean, I'm going to tell y'all this right now. When you see West Coast, you already know, don't offer me no drink because I don't drink. You know what I'm saying? I don't mess with that Texas stuff, too. Just dap me up and we're going to keep it pushing.
And but he do not succumb to influence either because I tried.
Exactly. Hey, I say no to the alcoholics. You know what I'm saying?
I tried.
But I'm going to tell you, I just gave you guys the breakdown on what you supposed to do when you see all four of us. And I'm going to tell y'all what we going to do when we see you. We going to show you some love. We be prepared to take some pictures. Like, don't be coming up the West Coast saying, oh, my God, that's West Coast Cowboy, and not have your phone ready to take no goddamn picture. We take the picture.
Yeah, we're going to take the picture, man.
We're going to Twitter and the gram up. That's what we're
exactly, doing. Exactly.
Hey, Wes, and another thing that we don't like is when they see us and they say, hey, man, we saw that you was too busy and we didn't want to come over there. No, come on over there, man. Come on over there. Don't be shy.
I let your boy.
We're not shy. We're very approachable, you know. Absolutely. Don't miss out on that opportunity, you know.
Absolutely. And listen to me. I'm going to tell you, let you know something real quick, right? The only reason we're going to these events is to bring content and to see y'all.
Absolutely.
Like, listen to me. Before we get in this content, I'm going to break this down real quick. Our goal as content creators is to be the tangible cowboy. That's what we are. We are the tangible form of this organization that you can touch, feel.
Yeah.
You listen to me. When the Cowboys is winning, y'all love the hell out of us. And y'all love us and y'all squeeze us. And y'all just been shaking us. And then guess what? When they lose, guess what? When they lose, it's definitely West Coast's fault. It's definitely
our fault. No, it's our fault, man. Ain't your fault, it's my fault, man.
Listen to me. Cowboys didn't send Zeke. It's definitely HTM fault. You know what I'm saying? You know, Dak Prescott, y'all don't think Dak better. It's definitely landlord fault. So that's all I'm saying, man. Listen to me. You know what I'm saying? We are a part of this culture. We are a part of this culture. You feel me? And we love being a part of this culture. And I'm going to tell y'all something else, not to aggressively just switch subjects real quick, but you know something else that's a part of this culture? Let me tell you something else a part of this culture. Dallas Cowboy fans hating on their own damn quarterback. Man, what's up with that, bro?
Right.
Who thought we was going to have this conversation this morning? I told y'all. Listen, I've been saying this since it was brought to my attention. And I'm going to tell y'all this right here, right? Jalen Hurts' best season as a quarterback, quarterback is a facilitator of the ball who throws the ball down the field. That's the scientific term for a quarterback, right? They don't say much about running the ball, so we ain't going to talk about too much about that. But I will say this, in the facilitation of throwing the football, I want to take a look at Jalen Hurts' MVP season versus Dak Prescott's, his rookie season. You know, guy just came in the league. I'm just trying to make my way, just trying to see if I want to do this whole NFL thing. If it doesn't work, I might go get me a degree in leadership and lead a company or something. You know, Dak had options coming into the league. You know what I'm saying? He had a lot of options. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, let's just go ahead and lay this thing out, right? So everybody can see, this is Dak Prescott 2016 versus Jalen Hurts 2022. All right, so let's get into it. Real quick, we're going to get into the nifty-grifties real. Dak played 16 games his rookie year. Jalen Hurts only played 12. They had him down for 12 games started last year. Now, let's look at the actual nitties and gritty. Let's look at some percentages, right? Let's look at some percentage. Completion percentage, 68.8. Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, 68.1. I think that's about the same, right? About the same, right?
Yeah.
Passing yards. We ain't gonna get too much into passing yards, honestly, because there's a degree of games that are missing there, about four games difference. But still, Dak's at 3,600, Jalen Hurts at 29. Let's look at passing touchdown. Dak Prescott 23, Jalen Hurts 20. Okay. Let's look at interceptions thrown. Dak Prescott 4, Jalen Hurts 3. Also, I'm gonna give you guys an example. Dak threw more passes, had 5 more games on that, still only managed to throw one more interception. All right. Let's look at yards. Let's go. Yards per game. Yards per game. Dak Prescott, 229. Jalen Hurts, 245. Rushing yards. Let's do it. Rushing yards. I'm going to tell you this right here. This is where it gets crazy. And I'm going to tell you this right here. When you have these types of attempts from the quarterback position, we're not going to try to sit up here and act like this was not a part of their game plan. This was a part of their game plan. So the Eagles.
Hey, Wes, do me a favor. Recheck the Jalen Hurts numbers. He started 15 games last year.
He did?
He did. Because he only missed the two that they lost.
He missed three.
He missed two.
I thought he missed three because
he missed two. He only missed two because they didn't win a game without him. They went 0-2. He missed our game. He missed the next game against the Saints. Then he came back and for the Giants game, the last game of the year. Because the official stats on Pro Football Reference has him down for 15 games.
I don't know. I don't know why it's only populating 12. Why is it populating 12? This is 2 in 2022.
No. Not sure why.
It's all good. Go ahead, finish. Go.
Yeah, but his actual numbers for 2022, because I don't want anybody like, they up here pushing false narratives. No, Dak Prescott's number's still better. Matter of fact, it's even better in this regard, because you know, he actually played 15 games, his completion percentage was only 66.5. So Dak Prescott actually had a better completion percentage in 2016 than he did for this season. He did pass for 3,701 yards. Dak Prescott still passed for more yardage, you know, right? Because even though it said Dak Prescott played 16 games, we all know he only played one series in that final game against the Philadelphia Eagles in 2016. That was just a field, just a little warm-up game before the postseason. We already had the number one seed locked up, right? Jalen Hurts did pass for 22 passing touchdowns. But last time I checked, 23, which Dak Prescott had, is more than 22. Right, I'm on track still. Right, everybody following. So yeah, even with them playing damn near equal number of games, the passing percentages and everything else like that are very similar, with Dak Prescott having the edge.
Yep. Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead. Finish.
Yeah. So, and listen, I know people will point out, man, he had 15 rushing touchdowns. Listen, I understand that. And Dak Prescott had six. So even if you wanted to factor all that in, this godly season, he only had six more touchdowns than Dak Prescott did as a rookie. That's not a lot. And then when you think about the fact a majority of those touchdowns were 1 yard, push him over the goal line, rugby style plays, you know, like, are we really putting stock into that? If they had an Ezekiel Elliott, you know, say if we didn't have an Ezekiel Elliott in 2016, Dak would probably have like 10, 11 rushing touchdowns too. He had six with Zeke.
Yeah.
So, you know, like,
they didn't really alter the rules. People keep saying they altered the rules as far as the new rules. It's not in the rule. I just said the new rules, but the rules is concerning like quarterbacks getting pushed and stuff like that. They really didn't alter the rules. They just enhanced the rule that was already there because nobody actually paid attention to the rule.
Trey, why I did my math right. Dak Prescott had 29 touchdowns his rookie year. Jalen Hurts had 35. That's six. That's six touchdowns. You do your math correctly.
You know what? And this is what I want to bring up. It's not that Jalen Hurts is trash. We're not saying he's horrible. We're not saying that he sucks. I think that Jalen Hurts had a phenomenal year last year. That was a great year for him. Now, let's see if he can do it for the 2023 season. I seen some people in the chat say, well, we got to go all the way back to 7 years to compare Jalen Hurts to Dak Prescott. No. Because 2021 numbers blows Jalen Hurts numbers out of the water. So I think that what we are trying to say here, or collectively bring out, that what you guys are gloating about with Jalen Hurts, Dak did it his rookie year, right? So and on top of that, Eagle fans got to know that even Jalen Hurts' comp was Dak Prescott. So let's not think that Jalen Hurts is this guy that can walk on water. But also, I heard this statement before. Let me know if I'm wrong. In order to beat the man, you got to beat the man, right? So, Jalen Hurts still got to beat Dak Prescott. Yeah. And Dak Prescott, when he's on the field, when Jalen Hurts is on the field, he averaged 35 points a game. Mm-hmm. There's no debate to that.
Yeah. What I think the problem is people are confusing team success with quarterback play. And that's two different things right there. Because, like, you know, a quarterback can get carried just like a quarterback can carry a team. But not, he can't carry it all by himself. You need a lot of working parts. A quarterback really just can't do it alone. But a team can for surely carry a quarterback. We've seen that happen over the years a lot of times. So I just seen somebody say that Dak's best season was in 2016. That's absolutely false. There's no way you can even debate that to be true, because Dak is clearly a way better quarterback than he was in his rookie year. Just because he didn't get the accolades or get to the top of football to the Super Bowl, that don't mean that he hasn't grown as a player. I think that's just hilarious for you to say something like that.
I mean, the man scored 38 touchdowns in 2021. 37 through the air, one rushing. And it was then, like top five in completion percentage and all the other stuff. So
same amount as the MVP that year. I was just adding that on. He had the same amount of passing touchdowns as the MVP did that year. But, you know, Dak is terrible, and he's the worst quarterback ever, according to the media. So, it's crazy to me.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Nah, all I'm going to say is, you know, he said, okay, I bet gotcha. He literally had five. Fam, that's because y'all sorry. Y'all, listen, the Dallas Cowboys, people keep throwing out he scored all these points against the Eagles backup team. The Dallas Cowboys were still playing for playoff seeding, right? Dallas Cowboys had to win that game. So, you know, it's not like we're going to go in there and lay down. Of course he went out there and beat the brakes off y'all team. That's the product that y'all put on the field. But the Dallas Cowboys won stat padding. We had to win that game in order to try and move up and get the second seed. We had the opportunity to still get the second seed in the NFC, and so we went out there and handled business. That is not, you know, our problem is y'all could not put a competent team on the field.
We beat secondly, every team they put on the field.
And secondly, you know, like, it's crazy that people say stat padding and all this. Like, Dak Prescott has a winning record as a starting quarterback, right?
Right.
Right. So, you know, he has won damn near three times as many games as he's lost. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to stat pad when you're winning. You know what I'm saying? So like this notion that he's stat padding to get these numbers is ludicrous. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's crazy the way that they compare these quarterbacks and just say now Dak is the poster child of interceptions. That's just false. It's no validity in them statements. Like, if you go over, we can talk about great quarterbacks in their first 7 years. I just did this on my show. Dak Prescott is the poster child of interceptions now. But in Drew Brees' first 7 seasons, he had 99 interceptions. Dak only got 65. And Ben Roethlisberger's first 7 years, he had 86 interceptions. Tom Brady had 86. So how is Dak Prescott just the biggest interception guy? And then he just had an uncharacteristic interception year last year. Just imagine if it was a normal Dak Prescott year. He wouldn't even have 65. He would have had about 55.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because the Dallas Cowboys used Dak Prescott and hit the I'm gonna just say it. The Dallas Cowboys used Dak Prescott in the death of his mother, 2016, and the lack of him throwing interceptions as a narrative on why he was such a good quarterback. So then once they changed the way Dak Prescott's play, that narrative changed as well. And the Dallas Cowboys never updated the fan base. Like, I'm just being real. Like, the Dallas Cowboys sold us on one way that Dak was going to play. And then when they changed offensive coordinators, they never came back and was like, hey, yo, Dak is going to be more of a passing quarterback now. Why? Because Kellen Moore hates throwing the ball. I mean, he hates running the ball.
The thing about it, though, you do got to factor this in. Dak was a quarterback like that. He broke the record. He broke the record for going the longest without throwing an interception. So he was that guy, though.
Exactly.
And to do that with these type of things in front of us, Jason Garrett, he can't find a job in the National Football League. Scott Linehan can't find a job in the National Football League. So Dak Prescott was able to do that with those type of coaching. It's just beyond me. And to think that even Kellen Moore, he pulled resources from Scott Linehan and Jason Garrett. Make this make sense. And we supposed to be able to be the juggernaut of a team?
Listen, they had Jason Garrett down here in the USFL over here by me. I'm announcing in the USFL,
y'all,
man.
I'll tell y'all this right now. Y'all know I got a soft spot for Jason Garrett, so leave Jason Garrett alone. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. Y'all say whatever y'all want to, but Jason Garrett had to fight Jerry Jones for Dak Prescott. Because Jerry Jones, if you go look at that Dak Prescott, that Dak Prescott docu-center, on Dak Prescott in that draft room, Jerry really didn't want to draft Dak. I'm just being real. Like, if you go look at that docuseries, when they show the pre-conversation, Jerry Jones straight up asked him, like, why do we need a quarterback in this and right now? And Jerry and it was Jason Garrett that was like, listen, even with Romo right now, I can see Dak playing. I can see him doing some things for this offense. Now, mind you, that same year, Romo got hurt and we never saw him again. You know what I'm saying? But Jason Garrett, Jason stood on the table for Dak. Like he really believed in Dak and his abilities. That's all I'm
saying. Yeah. He can believe it in something, but that means that just because he believe it doesn't mean that he can elevate it, right? You know, so I give it what you're saying, that he was passionate to have Dak Prescott on this team and far as being a quarterback for this team. But still, the resume for Jason Garrett is still the resume for Jason. Yeah,
but let me say something real quick. That wasn't Jason Garrett's job, though. You guys got that wasn't Jason. Jason, listen to me. We always like to assume that a head coach's job in Dallas is the same head coach's job in Kansas City, or the same head coaching job in Baltimore, or the same job in L.A. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that that was Jason Garrett's job, because think about that. Think about this. It hasn't been Mike McCarthy's job. Mike McCarthy is actually now going to be confused. That's actually going to be doing coaching things this year now that Kellen Moore's gone. So, like, I don't – it's hard for me to believe that Jason Garrett was just in there being a coach with Scott Linehan there. Like, think about this. Jason Garrett was another guy that had to sit through a different coordinator. Like, the Cowboys – we have actually done this situation where we empower. I'm gonna say this. Y'all know I say some crazy stuff, but you know, listen to me. In the family complex, we all know man's supposed to go out and be the hunter gatherer. Woman stays in the house and does the opposite, right? Well, you know, in our complex, we've been flipping that. You know what I'm saying? We've had the man be the man sitting at home, and then a woman go out and be the hunter gatherer. And that's what I'm saying in Dallas with the offensive coordinator, these offense and head coaching. Like, we have actually empowered our offensive coordinator way. Yeah. Think about this. We empowered our offensive coordinator so bad that when we messed up, we didn't even want to fire the head coach. You want to know why? Because we all knew it wasn't his fault.
Yeah. I can see that, but like, look, I can see why you are like Jason Garrett, Wes, because I ain't gonna lie, Jason Garrett ran the damn ball.
How you doing, guys?
Jason Garrett ran the damn ball. I think what Jason Garrett's downfall was, I didn't take him for like a great leader of men. I think that's what he failed at.
Listen to me. I think we put way too much stock in being a leader in men. You're gonna tell me this. You need to be a leader, Wes. Yes, but I'm gonna tell you, people only say you're not a leader of men when you're not winning, bro. You gonna tell me that Ben Roethlisberger is a leader of men?
No, nobody ever said that Big Ben was a leader.
Like, bro,
but you never hear that about Big Ben, though.
But Big Ben had a true coach to direct him. And I give it what y'all are saying. With Jason Garrett, but there's no real campaign for Jason Garrett here. Let's just be real now.
There's no campaign, but I just always want fans, because I think we blame the devil for a lot of stuff that we actually do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
are you preaching on this fine morning?
I wish I had my priest, but he's talking though.
But you know what though? But I'm gonna tell you guys, the worst thing that can happen in Dallas is you fire the wrong guy. That's all I'm saying. And that's what I believe would happen with Jason Garrett. We should have fired Kellen Moore. You know what I'm saying? Kellen Moore and Scott Linton. Now, Scott Linton, now.
I'm going to say this. The only reason they didn't fire Kellen Moore, the year he got fired was his first day on the job.
I know it was his first year, but that's why I said Scott Linton.
Well, the fish rots from the head down. So what we are talking about basically as above, so below, and that is Jerry Jones. He the one empowers the coaching. And across any other organization and franchise, your general manager is supposed to handle most of these things of selecting their coaches or what have you. And that process been eliminated because you got the owner / general manager. And then he hire people to fit his type of will. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's also you got to be able to navigate that. And we haven't been navigating that correctly. It's been 27 years, and out of the 27 years, I can firmly say 6 of those years we had a real head coach. That's Bill Parcells and now Mike McCarthy.
I was just about to say, because a lot of people Mike ain't gonna do Big Mike's friend up like that on my wife. No, you're not.
We just agreed that Mike McCarthy's just now gonna be the coach. He's just now gonna be a real coach and do everything to the head coach. So that's why I say realistically, Bill Parcells.
You're right on that. But look, I feel like, bro, listen. You just went over and said that it's a different ball game in Dallas, bro. This is not your typical job. He had to get in
and he had to whack Kellen Moore. That's what like, that was a hit.
He had to be amazed. Listen, Wes. You got to give him mad props for getting Kellen out of here.
I'm not giving him not credit, but what I'm listen to me. I think you guys are so trying to like, I'm not trying to prove nobody right or wrong. What I'm saying is, what I'm going off of what you said, what Law just said, and what we just said about Coach. Right. I can't give Mike McCarthy credit for anything until he actually does the job, fellas. He's going to start doing.
Well, are you talking about takeover fully? Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Like, up to now, realistically, we've only had one real coach, and that was Bill Parcells, like Law said, because remember. Right. Bill Parcells straight up told him, like, bro, how I'm going to make the dinner if I ain't making getting the groceries? Like, he was the only person that, like, really complained. Everybody else just kind of did the same thing. He just kind of waited my time. Because think about this, Lord. What if the Cowboys wouldn't have waited? Like, what if they would have been like, nah, Kellen, Lyle, Mike, this is you, Ant. Like, praise God that the Cowboys were smart enough to be able to see, okay, this is Kellen Moore, and this is such and such. Because think about this. When we fired Jason Garrett, bro, you know that same week we fired 15 other coaches.
Except
for Kellen Moore.
Hey. We fired everybody, but we kept Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore. And pretty much.
We also fired the game running back coach, bro. That was so dumb, bro.
Look, Wes, though, this is the point, though. I kind of give Mike McCarthy. Yeah, RIP. I kind of give Mike McCarthy a little credit for that. You want to know why? The only reason. Because Mike McCarthy drew his line in the sand. Mike McCarthy made sure he knew, he let the Joneses know, like, look, this is my stance. I'm not fooling with what he's doing. He said, I do not like option route. That's the only way he separated himself. That's the only way. And shout out to Tybo Ty with the $2, because he said interceptions of garbage option routes is why he got the interception. But that's the same thing he just said. Mike McCarthy separated himself. He, bro, Wes, I promise you, I'm gonna win. Mike McCarthy gonna win you over.
Well, here's the truth. Go ahead, Wes.
He operated, man. Mike been operating like a gangster, bro. He been operating like a straight gangster.
You want me to back you up on that, landlord? Here's what happened.
This is gonna be real quick. Look, he could have got Dan Quinn out of here. He could have got Dan Quinn out of here. He did that like a gangster. He said, "Nope, I don't want you to go. I'm gonna keep you over here. I ain't staying with you."
Here's what happened in 2021. Happened in 2021. A lot of people and a lot of Cowboy fans were saying, we don't even need Mike McCarthy. He don't even need to be here all the way up until that Denver's Broncos game. Because what Mike McCarthy did is he realized and said, okay, if they're going to crown this young kid, Kellen Moore, of being the boy wonder, the boy genius, then I'm going to let him cook. I'm going to let him be in the kitchen. But when the kitchen caught on fire, big Mike McCarthy did just like this. Because if he were to help and aid, we would never been able to see the fullness of who's really gearing this thing or steering this thing together. And then they would have did exactly what happened to doggone Wade Phillips back in 2008. Yep. They would have absolutely fired Big Mike McCarthy and elevated Kellen Morris to being the head coach because a third of the Cowboy fan.
That's the reason why I give them credit, Wes. That's the only reason I give them a little credit. Look, hold on.
Gotta stop saying I'm not giving him credit because that's that's not the conversation that we're having.
No, I'm saying I'm giving him credit for getting Kellen Moore out of here. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not giving him no credit for giving Kellen Moore out of here. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why.
I am.
Because at the end of the day, that's an opinion base. Bro, listen to me. I'm giving Jerry Jones credit for getting Kellen Moore out of here because we know for sure that Jerry Jones is daddy around here. Like, I'll let you go. So let me finish. Let me go. All right, so think about this now. Listen, I don't give coaches credit for making organizational moves because if that was the case, he should have did that shit he should have did that theoretically week 8 after the Lambeau game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We think about this. We burned a whole season. We have a whole new tight end now. We have a whole new running back. A damn near a whole new offensive line. Bro, that's a whole lot of stuff you let fail just so you can get a chance. And listen to me. I'm not saying I'm not knocking Mike McCarthy, but what I'm saying is as of today, you guys just told me a bunch of personnel stuff that I should be happy about my head coach. My head coach is not a GM. He's a head coach.
So no, the only reason I'm saying that, I thought you were done.
I will give Mike McCarthy his props in that aspect. But we're not talking about GM Mike McCarthy. We're talking about on the field Mike McCarthy, as in instructing schemes and those types of things. Because I'm going to tell you guys this. We all know that you can be a great engineer, but then suck at being a construction worker. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Kellen Moore was. Kellen Moore was a great engineer, but the actual application of it was different. We didn't know what it was. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't apply it. So that's what I'm saying right now. I'll give Mike McCarthy all the credit in the world. But guess what? Being a great personnel man means nothing to me if you can't execute it on the field. That's the only thing I'm saying. So I'm saying as of right now, we haven't seen that. Because he hasn't.
Those are big facts right there.
The only reason I gave him a little credit is I'm just trying to separate it because I think we kind of missing each other point a little bit. I'm just saying that I think Mike McCarthy deserves a little more credit because he basically separated himself. Because I think the Joneses would have got rid of him too. That's what I'm saying. They would have did the wrong thing. I think they would have just been like, okay, Mike, you got to go. And Kellen is the son. I think that's why I gave him credit because he put himself in the forefront and said, hey, this is not me. This is not what I want. This is not how I want to play. But y'all allow him to do that. So that's the only way that Mike McCarthy got what he needed, got what this team needed, and not get fired. That's why I'm giving them credit. Yeah, if he wouldn't have said that, he would have got – man, they would have wiped their nose with Mike McCarthy. Yeah, he would have been gone.
But I'm going to tell you something, a very powerful statement, though.
Right.
He said that week six, bro. We had 11 more weeks of option routes and two playoff games, bro. So
sacrificial.
Exactly. But you know what they sacrificed? Your whole season.
He did.
And it's crazy because he had to say, if you install it, you call it, right? Mm-hmm. So he had to put himself and separate himself from Kellen Moore and from his philosophy. So hopefully what we can see now heading into the 2023 season will be all Mike McCarthy's philosophy because he for dog sure don't have that bullet in the chamber and say, well, Brian Schottenheimer, what you install it, you call it. Nah, he can't say that now. He can't use that because this is all Mike McCarthy's system now.
Well, hey, I will say this though. You know, like, with understanding, you like, hey, this, we sacrificed the season. But Jason Garrett came to them and begged them back for play calling. He begged them to get his play calling duties back with his job on the line. And they said, boy, go sit down somewhere. what they told Jason Garrett. So, you know, he had to do what he had to do in order to get it. So I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, it's not like Mike McCarthy was demanding that cachet to just get his way right out the gate.
He should have been, but he should have been. But this is Dallas. That's the point. That's the whole point I'm saying. Yes, he had to maneuver, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Remember that we are not talking about. Can we all pause for 1 second and all acknowledge that we're not talking about coaching football right now? We are talking about position. We are talking about GM stuff.
Right.
Listen to me.
We have no GM.
What we're really, listen to me. You guys notice how all the jobs are just messed up? Like, we're up here talking, giving our head coach credit for something that you're like, that should be Will McClay's job.
We don't have a GM. That's the problem.
The best GM in football. We got Will McClay and freaking Jerry Jones.
But look, if we being technical, he's not the GM.
Yeah.
That's a problem. This hierarchy
he get paid like a GM, but he ain't no GM.
This hierarchy is in shambles. I think you need a little more organization in the organization. That's crazy.
You know what's crazy too, though? Lost, you said it a couple minutes ago. It's your business, and that's how you choose to run your business. You know what I'm saying?
And we chose to be Cowboy fans, and we got to deal with it.
Yeah, but hey, this has been a really good conversation. Hey, listen to me. I love combative conversations in the morning. You want to know why? Because this gets me ready for all the hating ass folks I'm about to deal with out there in the world.
It's a wake me up.
Get the blood flowing.
Dude's gonna charge me 26 cents for an extra honey at Popeyes, bro. Like, yes, I'm gonna give it to him this morning. He's gonna get a pass this morning because I gave it to y'all. You know what I'm saying? But the last thing we're gonna say on, because this is a really good conversation, everybody's in, and I'm gonna tell y'all this right here. Conversations are meant for agreement and disagreement. Without agreement, it's not a good conversation. Without disagreement, it's not a good conversation, man.
Yeah, you can respectfully disagree.
Yeah. Yes, this is all healthy. So,
but before you go into another point here, to digest all of this, we've been going back and forth with all of this before we get to the football field. For us to be in this spot, man, can you imagine if we had better control up top? Woo, man.
It's the organ, like we just said, like that might be a t-shirt. We need better organization in the organization. That's what we need. We need more organization because the hierarchy is not laid out properly. Or but like Jerry Jones just want to be, he just want to have a title. I don't know whether he just want to have a title. He could just sit back and be the owner. But no, he got to be the GM. And that's right. A problem when everybody else, you know, like the way your peers view you. Your peers looking at him like, Jerry, you're not doing this. Will McClay, you deserve the props. But that messed up the camaraderie in the room. Everybody know that Will McClay doing the job, right? Yeah. But he don't get the props, so he don't get the title. That's an issue after a while, man. It's like, come on, Jerry, just take a back seat for a second, man. Get out the video, P. Diddy.
This is what I say.
Get out the video, P. Diddy.
Hey, y'all know I'm always going to be, you know, I'm always going to try to keep it on the narrow and narrow. This is what I would say. I'm not about to bang on Jerry too hard because at the end of the day, I also don't know which decisions specifically were Jerry because you know what happens a lot of times, man? You know, Taco Charleston was definitely Jerry Jones. You know what I'm saying? Micah Parsons was definitely Will McClay,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You know, so we get, you know, we tend to get a, you know, Jerry ends up being the negative for everything that's, you know what I'm saying, but that's negative. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just try to put it all on the organization because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, we as fans will do that. But I will say this. The difference I will say between this year and every single season that I've probably looked at as a Dallas Cowboy fan as an adult, not as a child, but as an adult, is that it does feel like Jerry Jones, win or lose, is letting people do their jobs.
Shout out to Boss Cowboy in the building.
Shout out to Boss Cowboy. Like, it really looks like Jerry Jones is allowing people to actually do their jobs. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that within itself is going to be a change because no matter what Mike McCarthy was doing, we all knew through situation, through scheme and things like that, that the offensive coordinator was more elevated than the head coach. So
it was, yeah.
Yeah, so just going into a life, just not having that pressure. Like, we all know, yeah, man, when rent's due and stuff is due and you ain't got that money, you got that pressure on you. You know what I'm saying? But as soon as that check clear, you're like, you know what I'm saying? You can do differently. There's just certain things you see differently when you ain't got no money in your account, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the hope that I'm hoping for Mike McCarthy because, be honest with you, fellas, Kellen Moore was bad, but he was also bad enough to get you to the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And have one of the best offenses in football.
There's cons and pros in it.
It was just situational with Kellen, man. That's what made it so frustrating. You could tell he's a talented coach. So I'm not going to sit up here and say that the Chargers is going to be terrible. That's not true. They're going to cook. But they might mess up in the clutch situation when he start going up against the best teams.
Chargers gonna lose.
I'm telling you right now, they gonna cook. They gonna look good. They gonna look good. But they gonna mess up.
They look good being 8-19.
No, yeah, they gonna ball out, but they gonna be still losing. That's probably what it is. Kellen ain't gonna manage it. Justin Herbert gonna love Kellen.
They will rank
right now.
Are you sure Justin Herbert gonna love throwing the autumn curl around?
Austin Eckler gonna hate him. Austin Eckler gonna hate him. Yeah.
Hey, Lord, I'm actually with you on this. I actually think, listen to me. I think the Chargers gonna probably have one of the better offenses in football. But
they
guess what?
Cook till it gets clutch.
Listen to me. There are some NFL teams. The only thing they want to do in the whole season is beat the Cowboys. Hey man, y'all didn't even make the playoffs. Yeah, I know.
Stop talking about the Washington team, man.
y'all play a whole season just to only beat the Cowboys. Listen to me. Some organizations will be perfectly fine with having this. Oh, we have this MVP type quarterback with the best offense in football. Yeah, but y'all ain't making it past the first round of the playoffs though. Like, I'm gonna tell you, the Chargers don't even have their own stadium, bro. They don't even have their own
stadium. So they like the third team in their state, ain't it? They just terrible.
Fellas, I'm gonna tell y'all this.
Listen to me,
say this right now. The Chargers, all they really have to do is exciting on the field so people will go to the games. That's
Be relevant.
That's it. All Kellen Moore has to be is good enough to help put fans in that stands, and that's it, bro. They ain't never got to go to the playoffs.
He gonna get Herbert a contract. That's all. Man,
Let me say this. Justin Herbert already throws the ball 100 times a damn game. What else is Kellen Moore going to do for him? Kellen Moore went out there and he ran the fourth most curl routes in the entire NFL last year. Mm. I think he was like second, and I think he was like first in option route usage. What the hell is he going to do for Justin Herbert? Besides, you know, up his interception number. We already throw a bunch of interceptions.
Oh, he going to throw more interceptions. That's for sure.
He going to start some drama between Dak Prescott fans and everybody. Because, you know, everybody that hates Dak Prescott are all going to become Justin Herbert.
They rooting for Herbert.
They already Justin Herbert fans.
Listen to me. Every Dak Prescott hater right now has a Justin Herbert jersey on under his Dak Prescott jersey right now.
Because, look, you know, it was a problem when we went at the number one offense. I know that sounds strange. It sounds peculiar. But at the same time, we needed something more. Like, he didn't know how to manage the game. He's just trying to run up the score. Like, you could tell from when Mike McCarthy was talking about this, he like, look, man, run the damn ball. That come out of frustration. He like that. Like, you wouldn't say it like that if you weren't frustrated. Like, bro, run the ball. When we up 14 points on Green Bay, run the fucking ball, man. That's all he's saying. Right. Just run the ball. You up 14 points on the Jaguars. Run the ball. That's two.
17.
Look, that's two games that we was up multiple scores that if we would have been playing complimentary football, we would have easily won those games. But Kellen Moore want to run up the score. That's exactly the characteristics of somebody that's trying to get a better job. That's somebody who's trying to boost up their resume to become a head coach. And I said this the other day. That's the main reason why D'Amico got a head coaching job and Kellen Moore got an OC job again. He had to go be an OC again because he showed him exactly that he wasn't the guy he thought he was. That's what it looked like to me.
I mean, how can you go out there and get a job at these interviews? How do you explain some of the play calling you did? So right here, when you ran this double reverse after you got the first down, so what was the thought process behind putting Ezekiel Elliott at center? What was the nuance to that? How the hell are you gonna answer that with a straight face?
Why would you go empty at second and two in the goal line? Why would you do that?
With an option route.
It's one of those things that for the 49ers to beat us two times in a row in the playoff, to see their coordinators get head coaching jobs afterwards, you know?
Yeah,
so, and for Kellen Moore to interview for those same jobs, not to get it. And people can't see the correlations there. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I also think that Kellen Moore, like, think about this, right? Kellen Moore got the job the same way everybody else in Dallas, the same way Connor McGovern got his guard position, because the next guy got fired or released. You know what I'm saying? Or got a contract. How did Connor McGovern become our starting guard? Because Connor Williams got a job in Miami. If Connor Williams stays in Dallas Cowboys, Connor McGovern never becomes a starting guard. So think about this. Like, you know, the same thing with Kellen Moore. Like, Kellen Moore, no, like, the rest of the world was not saying that Kellen Moore was a genius. The Cowboys were saying that he was a genius. They were the ones saying that our backup quarterback is a genius. Like, that doesn't make sense. And just like there's some of this stuff that Cowboys – do that we should have never sat right, that the guy who couldn't beat him on the field was actually smarter than him in the classroom.
It is. That's kind of social promotion, typical, man. Though, right?
But he was a genius in his own way, right?
That's kind of typical, just how it goes. I think most of the time, the sorry players be good coaches.
But listen, question is this. He was your backup quarterback. So where was he seeing this genius in random conversations around the AT&T Stadium? Like, you get what I mean? Like,
they put a lot of stock on Kellen's theories, too. Because they overrided the head coach.
Bro,
they overrided Amari Cooper. They did all of this for Kellen Moore's scheme. I want y'all to understand that.
And then got rid of him the very next year.
Yeah, that was all due to the faith that the front office had in Kellen Moore and his system. That is evident. Why would any competent football team get rid of a capable player like Amari Cooper? Why? For a fifth round pick. That don't make no sense at all.
And you know the crazy part about it is everybody that we got rid of under Kellen Moore contractually could have still been here today.
Facts.
Biggest facts. Because Amari Cooper took a pay cut. They talk about $20 million. That man paid like $5 million.
Yes, indeed. He turned down $6 million from the Washington team. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, so it's like that's why I say it's like Dallas Cowboys. It hasn't, you know, it's crazy because this is a horrible thing to say, but at the same time, it's kind of a good thing to say. Like the horrible thing to say is this: the Dallas Cowboys have been held back on the football field because of non-football field decisions. That's a horrible thing to say. Mm, but I'm gonna tell you, it does hurt. But I'm gonna tell you another thing that also makes you feel good is this: guess what, guys? Some of the failure that we've had has been because of non-football decisions. So guess what? So it's kind of like a
conundrum.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's
oxymoron. Yeah.
And at the other end, you're like, oh, okay, I can see how that can be a good thing. Why? Because we just fix that, then all this other stuff should be fixed.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I think we close to it, though, Wes. I do. I really do. I think Kellen Moore getting out of the building was huge for us. I'm not acting like he is the only reason we was losing. I'm not doing that because,
we lost key games, though.
We did see big-time errors in Kellen Moore's philosophy. Because, look, one of them games we was watching, you remember we was like, bro, Kellen ain't running the ball. Then next thing you know, I could tell Mike McCarthy gave that boy a tongue lash for the song. He got at him.
Like nine straight runs.
Look, after halftime, this boy came back and ran the ball nine times in a row. We was like, duh, he just going to straight run. And Kellen wasn't being creative either. He wasn't being creative.
Right, so when you do quota stuff, it's not with a plan or a purpose. So we seen that out of Kellen Moore. Look, the Cowboys was top seven in rushing last year or top six in the National Football League in rushing, but it was just by chance. We ran out of shotgun. We ran obvious plays, like my guy said, nine straight times without concepts, without strategy or scheme. So hopefully, man, Solari and whoever's the new running back coach now,
we're gonna cook. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm gonna tell y'all this right here. Like, I know I'm Mr. Run the Damn Ball. I get it. Right. I'm Mr. Run the Damn Ball. But you know what? I'm also run the damn ball when it makes freaking sense, bro. Like,
when it makes sense. Yeah.
Like, make it when it makes sense, bro. Like, you
and
know,
running with some purpose. I don't care about running the ball, but
let me tell you something else. Like, getting on the 2-yard line and just saying, Tony Pollard, line up. We're going straight. That might not work, bro.
Look, I told you that was Jason Garrett to me. That was Jason Garrett to me. Jason was gangster with it, though. He was gangster with it. He used to be like, hey, my guy's better than yours. We running that way. Hike the ball and handle the ball. That's how Jason did.
You can do that when you're an established run. Because listen to me, is what actually running the ball is.
We had a gangster line back then, though. You know,
running the ball is a confidence, bro.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's sometimes you can't hide which way you're going, bro. We're going left.
Yeah.
We're coming left. Can you stop it? And to be honest with you, that's when you know you have a run game. When the defense can almost guarantee which way you're going, and I'm still coming.
Yeah.
See, look, we've been had a run game, but now I think Brian Schottenheim finna have us with a run scheme. That's something I ain't seen in Dallas in a long time.
Say that just one more time.
Yeah, you can have a run game, you know what I'm saying? But Brian Schottenheim, I believe he finna incorporate a run scheme. That's a whole different ball game.
A scheme means that it's gonna be Dak running, it's gonna be Tony running, it's gonna be a wide receiver.
Davis,
Now pause right there. All those people running from possibly the same formation and then do it from, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be just craziness. Like they'll line up in the same formation and any of those people can run the ball. Yeah. Then they'll do it in a different variation. Like, that's a part of a scheme when you can just deceive people with it.
The only way it's going to work, though, is if the Cowboys have a willingness to allow Dak to run. Because the last team to do this that was really like a run team was the Seattle Seahawks, right? No. In 2018, they were the number one rushing team, and they did not have a 1,000-yard. They did not have the leading rusher on their team. There was a whole team, and we beat them, too, in the playoffs. But I'm going to tell you, It was a part of the scheme that Russell was going to run.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you this right now. At the end of the day, y'all can hate Zeke all you want, but you gotta replace 12 touchdowns and 870 yards somehow. And guess what, fellas? For all y'all folks that be like, "Oh, that was just in the red zone," bro, that's even worse. Because guess what? I actually think I can prepare all the zone runs and I think I can actually I think I can actually, between Tony and then Deuce hitting it every now and then. I got to talk to Malik Davis, man. I got to talk to him, man, because I ain't talk to him,
man. Hey, we working on it.
Like Greg pointed out, because you're going to be doing a zone style scheme, that inside zone run looks exactly like the RPO. You ain't going to know it's not an inside zone to the ball leaving Dak Prescott hand to the wide receiver behind you. So there's a bunch of things that you can marry in there with that. Yeah. RPO keeper, Dak
has to run though.
I'm gonna throw that in there too. Like because Dak Prescott can be involved in it too by keeping the ball, especially in the red zone area. This man, listen, Dak Prescott averaged 6 rushing touchdowns a game his first 3 years. Like he had 6 rushing touchdowns each and every season his first 3 years as a Dallas Cowboy. That only went away in 2019 when Kellen Moore became the offensive coordinator.
Man, I'm excited about the aggressiveness. Like, that's what Dak said. Dak saying aggressiveness. We can see aggressiveness coming from Mike McCarthy. That's not what we seen from Kellen Moore's philosophy. He told you he's trying to aggressively take what they give him. That's not what we on.
I'm going to say something. Somebody always says, 10 of Zeke's TDs were 2 yards or shorter at the goal line. I'm going to ask you guys a question. If that is the case, who replaces those for you? Because I'm going to tell y'all something real quick. Fans, you guys like to diminish a red zone touchdown, but you guys understand a red zone touchdown is harder to score than any other touchdown. That's why they have a red zone percentage and no other percentage.
Well, this is what it is. The field condenses, man, when you get into the red zone. And hopefully, like I said, we didn't have a true scheme last year. So when we got inside the green zone, inside the 30, the Cowboys' first play was with Kellen Moore, the reverse sweep, or trying to do something like that. And that's true. My double guy, Poirier, he broke it down. Like, when we got inside the 30, we started doing reverse sweeps. We started doing those trickery plays. But when you have actual scheme, you put up things, and we should see better red zones attempts. Here's my thoughts, too, when we get inside the 20. Red zone, though, right? This Kellen Moore used to do – you remember, y'all, he would do a screen pass inside the 20, but he would do it on the short side of the field. Like, you got your field side and you got your short side. He would literally do a screen pass on the short side of the field. And I'm sitting there like, dude, that's not even giving your runner real estate to run. So I hope that when we look at this thing, and we'll see that this team is more scheme and more football sense when we get inside those red zone opportunities.
Yeah, and you got to think like this too, man. Like, Kellen Moore, like, bro, the dude's 24 years old. Like,
junior.
Yeah, he's like, bro, like, at some point, you just be like, I don't even expect him to have that knowledge. Like, some stuff you got to, like, go through it to know how to do it. Like, Kellen Moore's never coached.
He still went behind the heels, boy.
Yeah, like, he never coached. But, like, some of this stuff we almost kind of, like, expect. Like, yeah, he was a guru in doing these things, but you don't know how good you are at red zone. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. If you wouldn't have had Zeke, Kellen Moore would have been exposed a long time ago. Because think about this. How many times did we get in the red zone? Think about the two people that really saved Kellen Moore from losing his job, the kicker.
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott. You know how many times drives
and
stalled?
Let me say this though. Just from a football, and I know all of y'all play football. When you were inside the 20, the most favorable ball you can do, fade ball. Yeah, I mean, that's a high percentage ball pass because either the sideline gonna catch it or your actual receiver. So I think that we should get back to that. And on top of that, you shouldn't even try to attempt to throw in the middle of the field because, like I said, everything condenses. So when you have second and short or even third and short, run the ball. If not, if you're in a favorable situation, fade ball it. Try to play reasonable football, and hopefully this is what my guy Mike McCarthy would bring to the table.
Yeah, and listen here, man. 2023, one thing I know about 2023 is this. Cowboys, this is going to be one of those situations where this is going to be the most team ball-led team on offense that we've seen. This is going to, listen to me, for all y'all, this is going to be some real team football because if you listen to me, we have a bunch of budding stars But we don't have like that. That is our guy. You know what I'm saying? From the fan standpoint. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I would say Dak is clearly that guy on our offense. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of fans will not say that. You know what I'm saying? Won't even agree on that. But I will say this year right here, man, this is going to be that season where you are going to see coaches coaching. Like, Mike, you gonna listen to me. You going to know 2023, you going to know if Mike McCarthy a good coach, because he going to be coaching. Because there's not going to be any specific player or thing that we can just say, hey, we can just do this until everything gets better. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I've even said at the beginning, for the first week or for the first month or so, it's going to have to be a really Dak-led centric offense. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a really Dak-led thing, because he is the most for sure thing you have on offense right now. Everything else is up for question.
I think this one of the first time, one of the other things I'm excited about, like, I think this one of the first times that, like, most of the, we got to be honest, as Cowboys fans, it seemed like certain things that it felt like the Cowboys are pushed just like they want to make themselves right. I don't see many things like that left on the team. I think Kellen Moore was the last person. You know what I'm saying? Like, they refused to say that they was wrong on him being the guy, and they just shoved him, like, in our face for 10 years until it was just they couldn't bear it no more. I don't see them forcing nothing else on us like that, and I think that's the best for the team, man. I just feel like we got a change of the guard. What do you think?
How old is your landlord?
I'm 36.
Okay, landlord.
36.
The average black man lives to, they say, 85 if you don't keep your cholesterol down, bro. I'm going to just tell you this right now. With Jerry Jones, he a billionaire. He can freeze himself. He probably got about 50 more years of living. Unfortunately, fam, I don't know, because guess what? Listen to me. I'm going to
What are you going for? Like, name it. That's what I'm saying.
I'm about to tell you right now. I'm about to
break it down, man. Break it down.
Open up a Pandora's box right now. Please. I'm about to open
up a Pandora's box. So leave it closed.
We nefarious over here. Open the box.
Yeah, but I know Henny's got 10 more minutes before you got to go back to work. But I'm going to tell y'all this right here. Listen, within the next 2 years, you might actually have a new quarterback. So, and that's just contractually speaking, because the Cowboys still to this day have not acknowledged Dak getting an extension. They have not acknowledged that there is $59 million left on a contract next year.
And for a single year.
That'll be a huge mistake.
1 year. And I'm going to exercise this right now. On this panel, we have four gentlemen. Everybody on here owns their home. Who here is willing to put, not even your whole mortgage. Who here is willing to put half their mortgage down that Jerry is not paying anybody? I don't give a damn who you are. 1 year for $59 million. Jerry don't want to pay Roger Goodell $42 million for one.
Right.
He almost sued Goodell over that.
But look, I just said this on my show, bro. I am not that bullish on the way we judge quarterbacks, bro. The Cowboys got a terrible history at like scouting quarterbacks.
Exactly.
No, so I don't want nothing to do with that. They need to quit playing with Dak Prescott. They need to quit playing with Dak. Get that man his money. Because look, I just tried to think of him. I'm like, okay, we got Cooper Rush. I guess you could say Cooper Rush.
They can't.
Then we got Mike White. Mike White had a talking about the quarterbacks that the Cowboys scouted.
Benjamin DiNucci. Go ahead, break down Benjamin DiNucci.
Johnny Manziel was terrible. He didn't even make it in the league too long. I thought he was good, but I'm talking about in the NFL.
I know he's going to be a sports guy. Hey, Johnny,
he cooked Alabama, though. I give him that. He cooked my team. He cooked Alabama, though. Hey. He did. He cooked Alabama.
Johnny Manziel, though. Johnny Manziel, though.
But I'm just saying, we scouted him. That wouldn't have worked out if he would have been a Cowboy. Maybe. Well,
no, it was not.
It didn't work out in the NFL for him. Paxton Lynch. They was finna give up draft capital to go get Paxton Lynch. They told y'all that. They said we wanted to go up and get Paxton Lynch. That would have been a terrible decision. Mike White might be the most successful out of the three.
I mean, missing one. He started.
Hey, landlord, break down the $14 million. And a half that they gave Andy Dalton for 1 year.
Oh,
break that down. Break that down.
We don't scout quarterbacks that well. We got Ben DiNucci. So how much I said this on my show, and we can do this exercise with the panel. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you bullish, you finna put up your mortgage and your house. how confident are you in the Cowboys' ability to draft a quarterback? Because I'm petrified.
Listen,
zero.
You almost didn't get Dak Prescott because they try to get Connor Cook.
I'm not counting Dak or Romo because they fell from
there. I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying they almost tried to get Connor Cook over Dak Prescott. You remember that?
Think about this. They actually picked a defensive player in the fourth round before they picked Dak.
Yeah.
Charles Tapper.
They picked Charles Tapper first.
They had Dak last on the quarterback. They had Jamel Showers or somebody, right? That was over there.
Jamel Showers had to turn to a safety.
He had to hit the shower. Look how bad we were.
Now, this the same Dak Prescott that started his rookie year and balled out and swept the whole league. They had this dude like third or fourth. So I'm very skeptical on the way that the Cowboys evaluate quarterback play.
You think they're going to let Dak play this year? Do you think they betting against him one more time?
I don't know what they're doing with Dak. Can we stop? Can we all agree that whatever the Cowboys do with Dak systematically is wrong? At this point, it's wrong. Because it should have been done 2 years ago. Why would you restructure when you need to extend?
I'm gonna tell you guys,
so many fans did not understand when the Cowboys did that. So many fans, listen to me. I honestly think that when Cowboys announced that they restructured Dak, some of you guys honestly thought he got expended. He got extended. He didn't. He didn't.
Yeah, he got restructured. Yeah,
they restructured the same money. Meanings what? That it just helps you this year, but he's on the same contract. Listen to me. There are two contracts that people are not taking in consideration next year that have to be done. Dak Prescott's and Watson.
Trayvon Diggs too.
No. I'm just saying quarterback.
Oh, okay. Quarterback. Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you guys another. Thank you, my boy. Hey, they snapping in the comment box, man. I love when the comment box is like feeding us information. It's like, you know, it's like we about to fight and y'all just instigating. Like, yeah. Say this, Wes.
Get him, Wes.
Listen to me. Somebody just told me on Law Nation's screen that, and West Coast, tell him that Law, and tell him he can't be traded. And you can't trade him.
Yeah. We don't know that. Yeah, but keep going.
You can't even trade him. And somebody just said on Landlord page that you can't franchise tag him. So you mean to tell me that Dak has all the leverage?
All the leverage.
I think you know what gave him that leverage though?
Jerry.
That damn no trade clause was clutch for him.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, no trade clause, because right now they could have put him on the trading blocks after he had a horrible year or what have you. Trade him away, maybe get third round draft pick or fourth.
You need to go back, Law. It's too many people watching this show for you to do Dak like
that. Possible second or third.
No, he was talking about, you said the horrible year part. You know?
Yeah, the horrible year, 2022.
I'm talking about the draft capital, too. Come on.
Your first round pick for Dak. Come on, Law.
Not after 2022 season. You can't get a first round draft pick after Dak Prescott. Not after 2022.
I'm just saying, if Deshaun Watson came,
that Dak Prescott is worth a third or fourth, but what I'm saying is that would have been the play.
Scratch your ass out, man. You better take that back.
I can't because they got a fifth round draft pick for Amari Cooper.
You better take it back right now.
I'm not taking that back. Amari Cooper last season with us in 2021 wasn't as horrid as Dak Prescott last season for 2022. And they got a fifth round draft pick for him.
Let me ask you this. If Deshaun Watson can get, you can get that for Deshaun Watson with a sex allegation and him having a bad season. He didn't have a bad season in his last season.
He had 26 allegations.
Well, 26 allegations.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, look, I think I can find a middle ground with this. Okay.
Yeah. First round.
If you trade in Dak, right, this being Dallas, I believe, even though he might deserve a first round or something like that, us being so terrible at negotiation.
That quarterback with 60 wins, bro.
Listen, Wes.
You gotta understand, somebody gonna have to take on that contract too.
Look, the Cowboys get taken. Listen. The Cowboys get taken to the woodshed in negotiation. That's my standpoint. We might deserve 2-3 first round picks, right, but look at how we got swindled with Amari Cooper. We could have at least got a second or something for Coop. I'm just saying, even though we might deserve a couple first round picks, if we doing negotiation, we might get swindled.
If you were to trade, listen to me. If you trade your quarterback, your franchise quarterback, you have to trade him for capital to replace him.
At least, if you trade
Dak Prescott for a third round, listen to me. That means you're – because think about this. Dak is so good that he's never going to have you in the lottery. Bro, you'll never get in the top 10 with Dak.
And this is what we were saying. We were saying objectively, speculative speaking. Of course, Dak Prescott got a no-trade clause on his contract, so he's untradeable. What I'm saying is collectively, the Cowboys don't win on trades. This was the first year ever the Cowboys won on a trade with Brandon Cooks. You can't find me a trade process that they won on.
So, you know,
that's why I said we do get taken to the woodshed.
From that perspective, I'm going to say, I understand.
That's what I just said.
Y'all see what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on, man. You know,
we get taken to the woodshed in negotiations.
You're taking the woodshed every time. Look, this is what I'm saying.
All I ask is when you lay your head on that pillow at night,
I get it.
That's all I'm saying.
This is what I say. All those trades were guys we were trading because we wanted them off the team. Like, I'm going to tell you this right here. When you did what you did to Amari Cooper, you did not value him as a human being, bro. You won the team.
Speak on it.
Now, this is the mindset that I'm going to say. If you're – because, like, bro, like, what the hell would you be mad at Dak for? Like, this is the thing that irritates me, man, and I don't want to keep going overboard, but, bro, like, why would you be mad at Dak for? What has he done? Like, what has he done, bro?
Balled out, fam.
In trouble. Like, everything that you say, like, bro, there has been so many times that the Cowboys organization has taken it. Like, they've done stuff to Dak that Romo wouldn't have stood for. Bro.
Some of this stuff is came from the front office, though. Because I was thinking about this. Y'all let me know which sides y'all think this fall on. Jerry Jones said this, and a lot of people thought, I think most people think he's talking about the money, yearly money. But yeah. I'm thinking that Jerry probably was talking about the terms of the contract. That's why he felt like he got beat with the no trade and the no franchise tag, all that stuff. I think that's what the in-depth stuff where he was like, oh, you know you got me in the contract. I think he was talking about the terms of the contract opposed to the money. Real talk, I think he was like, all the terms, you got me with that part. That's what I think Jerry was talking about. Because he know the money, he going to end up getting the money on the back end. He already know that.
Yeah, and
do you think it was terms or money that Jerry was talking about?
I'll tell you this right now. You know what's crazy, fellas? You know what's crazy? This year, I'm gonna say this right here. This year, with all that money on Dak's contract, this year is going to be about Dak. And now I do understand why they're putting – because think about this. Before the Cowboys pay you, you know what they do? They see if you can hold the house.
Yeah.
Before they pay you, you know what they do? They give you a bunch of unachievable expectations and see if you can do it. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If the Cowboys and the way they're handling,
I think they did that last year, though.
Yeah, think about this.
Right. We're going to get his starting lineup was Noah Brown, Dennis Houston, and C.D. Lamb week one.
Yeah, we took away from him last year.
Hey, man, go to the Super Bowl.
Guess what? That's just a wide receiver room, man. They touched every room of the offense. They touched the running back room. They touched the offensive line room. And they touched in the tight end room. Dak is the quarterback room is the – that's why I said we had a show last week, and I was like, what is the one guarantee that you can put on this offense? And honestly, the only guarantee you have right now is Dak Prescott's play. That's it.
Yeah. Man, listen, why are people in the comments about talking about Caleb Williams like he ain't going to be the number one overall pick? Do you plan to be that sorry? You just won 12 games last year with me and Landlord playing X and Y out there. How the hell are we going to get Caleb Williams? I want y'all to be realistic. Landlord going to have about 500 yards. I'm going to give him three. I'm a little slow. I'm going to have more touchdowns, though. I'm going to have like four touchdowns. He's going to have three.
Hey, man, I can't run right now.
If Dak Prescott is the starting quarterback, if Henning Damore is playing left tackle and Landlord is playing wide receiver, I'm playing quarterback, and then Law Nation is out there playing tight end somewhere. He got that big grizzly beard, so he out there playing tight end. listen to me. If Dak Prescott is the quarterback of that team that has us four on it, two things are happening. The Dallas Cowboys will beat the Philadelphia Eagles twice, and you're still going to win. That's what it is, bro. Dak don't care who on the roster, bro. If Dak's on the roster, you're winning 10 games.
I ain't dropping that ball like Noah Brown did against the Jaguars.
I'm catching that one, though.
You know, I'm catching that one across the middle.
I ain't on my handle side either now, you know.
Hey, man. I got to leave anyway, man. I got to get back to work, man, because I appreciate y'all. This was a good-ass show.
Yeah. We need to do this more often. Hey, people in the chat, give us some flames and we need to do this more often.
Hey, you know, we need to do it in person this week, this Saturday. This Saturday, everybody in this show is going to be at SportsCon, including Boss Cowboy, who's in the comments.
Yeah.
We're all at SportsCon. Listen to me. We don't know how we're doing it. We're going to figure it out. But at some point, all of us is going to get on a show, and we're going to talk a little bit about SportsCon. But you know what we're about to start doing? We're about to start getting ready for this OT for training camp. Listen to me. July is the is National Appreciation of Content Creators. You want to know why? Because this is really the last month where you actually need us. See, going forward, you're going to want us. You want to know why?
Because yeah.
You know, but over these last 6 months, you needed me, bruh.
if I do say so myself, we held y'all down, man. We've been coming every day. You know, don't nobody outwork Law Nation. So hey, we've been coming every day consistently giving y'all this work. So y'all gotta show some love now.
And shout out to HTM who texts me every morning at 9:15 and says we doing a show today. Consistently, my boy. Consistently, man.
And then, you know, apparently we got the beef, and so look, apparently me and he ain't got the beef, and so he don't do shows with me no more. That's what they told us, man.
So hey,
absolutely.
Hey, I got a raffle I'm gonna be doing later on today, man. I put the video up, man. I appreciate everybody that's contributed to the raffle. Hey, we going out to SportsCon tomorrow, man. I mean, I'm leaving to go to SportsCon tomorrow. It's gonna be an absolute ball, man. Hey, listen to me. I got a couple tickets, man. Just hit my inbox, man. If you're trying to get in, I ain't gonna promise you, but I will say first come, first serve. If you need a ticket, bang my inbox. I'll see what I can do. Y'all know I love the people. Hey, shout out to Law Nation for sliding through with his big hat. Shout out to HTM Sports keeping the doors open. And shout out to Landlord Sports for keeping the lights on up in this bug. You know what I'm saying? Yes, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Last thing I'm going to say before I get up out of here is this. If you want to meet any of us this week, we're going to be in Dallas at SportsCon. So make sure you come out. Last thing I'm going to say is hit that share button, hit that star button, and hit that support button on your way out. Remember, July is National Support Your Content Creator. Why? Because we've supported you for the last 6 months, and that's the only thing we ask. We appreciate y'all. Hey, let them know when y'all going lives again. Starting again with you, HTM. Go let them know.
Man, I be live tonight. Y'all know me, man. Hey, Darren just said I go live 10 times a day. So, yes, I will be live tonight.
hey, get it out of the mud, man.
Indeed, brother.
Yes, indeed.
I probably be live tomorrow morning around 11 Central Time, you know, my normal time. I only could do one a day, you know. That's my groove these days.
Okay. Wake up at eight. Get you one in at 9. You know, eat you some breakfast. Get you another one in at 10. Do a show with us at 12. You get your 3 shows in.
So you said more work, huh?
More work.
Hey, I appreciate all of the new media in this chat. Y'all continue to put new media out there. We are in the new media. Also, final word is tonight, I believe. Sure. So let me know, boss. Final word tonight. Let's go. We freestyle all our shows.
I'll be tuned in myself.
Definitely will.
Yes, sir. And, hey, man, we will always, hey, man, no matter what, make sure y'all support this content, man. Make sure y'all support this content. I'm gonna keep stressing this. July is National Support Your Content Creator. And that's just not, listen to me. I know y'all like the shares and the high fives and stuff, but listen to me. That monetary keeps these lights on. If you ain't supported financially this last 6 months, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Right. We get it. But now you have an opportunity. Before the month of July is over, I need you guys to make sure you reciprocate the love and appreciation you guys have for your favorite content creator by hitting those Cash Apps and showing them financially that you guys rock with them. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, man. There's a lot of stuff that we pay for and we do things that we never put on you guys. Why? Because a part of us, we just love doing this. But that's what...
I just got them numbers for the Cali trip, and I'm like, ugh.
you know.
Hey, check that out, inbox, Wes. Put that so that everybody can know, because people are asking where the link at to go to SportsCon. So I just put it in the chat. Can you put that in the chat for me, Wes? So
yes,
you can go
sir.
To everybody's channel.
Yes,
yeah, there it is right there. Y'all just go, lady Miss Jackie, just go to that web link right there. Wes about to put it in the chat. And if y'all need help with anything, jump in our DMs, man.
And make sure y'all put them restaurants in there, because I'm gonna have to eat while I'm out there. I don't know where I'm at.
All right, bam. I just dropped one in there right now. Bam, bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Hey y'all, hey, we up out of here. Listen to me. If you're in the Dallas Metroplex Fort Worth area, bang my line, man. Even if we can't go to SportsCon, man, I love meeting up with people and just kicking it, man. Wednesday night, I ain't doing nothing. Thursday night, I ain't doing nothing. Friday night, we got a VIP party, but after that, we ain't doing nothing, man. So, hey, if you want to hang out, you want to be, and if you're not weird, don't be weird now. But if you ain't weird, if you're a normal human being, you know what I'm saying? You want to hang out, I'm all with it. You feel me? Come, let's do it. You guys already know what it is. Never look down, because star.